introduction. You know Colin. He's a man, a mighty man of God. So we are going to hear the word of God from a mighty man of God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Kenny, as we were singing that song, you know, open wide heaven's gates, let the King of Glory in. You know that's what you've done, don't you? You do know that's what you've done. You flung wide the gates of your heart. The King of Glory's coming now, Kenny. The King of Glory's coming. The King of Glory. You invited him in and he never refuses. He lives in you. The King of Glory. The King of Glory. The King of Glory. There's a richness coming to your life, Kenny. A deep richness coming to your life because you invited the King of Glory in. And you know, I read out those verses, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. I want to release that over you and prophesy that over you. The glory of the latter part of your life, the last half of your life, will be greater than the glory of the former. Because the King of Glory has come in. The King of Glory has come in. He's going to pour his goodness into your heart, his love and his grace and his mercy, never ending, never ending, never ending. It's upwards and onwards from here. It's upwards and onwards from here. Victory upon victory from here. Peace upon peace, grace upon grace. Love upon love, life upon life. From here. Because the King of Glory lives in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is it Carol? Carol, as we were singing that song, Outrageous Grace, you know, the Spirit of God just said to me, I'm going to pour out my outrageous grace into this lady. I'm going to pour it out. Stand up, Carol. Stand up for me. I'm just going to pour out my outrageous grace upon you. I'm going to keep pouring in my goodness into you, Carol. I'm going to keep pouring it. Believe it, Carol. It's outrageous. You know that, don't you? Absolutely outrageous. People are going to be outraged. They're going to be outraged because you don't deserve it. Because you don't deserve it. Isn't that right? Amen. You don't deserve it. People are going to be outraged. Outraged. Why is she so favored? Why is she so favored? Why does God love her so much? It's outrageous. It's outrageous, Carol. Outrageous. Nothing you can do to out-earn it. Nothing you can do to throw it away. It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. God is going to pour out his goodness into your life. Receive it. Close your eyes and just receive the goodness of God. Receive it. Receive the goodness of God being poured out into your heart. Now, but from this day onwards and onwards and onwards, pour, just a constant pouring of God's goodness. God's goodness, God's life, God's love, God's mercy. Poured out into your heart. And the Bible says it's the fatness of the Lord that breaks the heavy yoke. The fatness of the Lord. That just means the fullness. That just means the richness. That just means the glory. Being poured into you, Carol. Poured into you. Breaking every yoke that the enemy has ever set on you or desires to put upon you. Every burden will be lifted off. Walking in lightness. That's what I see. I see you skipping. I see you skipping because when you live in the fullness of God, you can't help but skip and jump. It's true. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that outrageous grace. Oh, receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Paul, your son did this, didn't he? You want to stand up and hold it for me? This is a fantastic introduction to my talk. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to say your son is a prophet. Okay? I prophesied over him earlier when during communion. He's a seer. He's a prophet. He sees things. He sees things. You're bringing up prophets in your home, Paul. You're bringing up prophets in your home. And there's that anointing on you and Carol. You are bringing up prophets in your home. You release the gift of prophecy. This morning, as you've led worship, you've released the gift of prophecy amongst us, hasn't he? He's released it. The presence of God, the Spirit of God has been released through your gift and through your anointing. You have a gift of bringing people to that place and releasing the Spirit of prophecy. And God says, behold, I put before you an open door. Behold, I put before you an open door that no one can shut. That no one can shut. That no one can shut. Walk through it boldly and courageously. Release that gift, Paul, wherever you go. Release it. Release that presence. The words of the Father, sung over his children, spoken over his children. Just as your son has done today. You know, he's just written, this is just a great picture. You know, there's love here, and there's love here, and there's love here, and there's love here, and there's love here. What's over here? Oh, there's love there. And what's down there? And there's love here. There's love here, and there's love there, and there's love everywhere. Love everywhere, he's written. Love everywhere. One day this will be true. Because the Bible tells us it's so. The Bible tells us that one day the whole earth will be covered with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. One day. And that means that love, because you know the glory of God is his love and his grace and his goodness. You know that, don't you? So when you welcome the King of glory and you're welcoming the King of love, the King of grace, the King of compassion, the King of light, the King of life, one day love will be everywhere. The whole world will be covered with love like this. One day, one day. One day, God is committed to that, and it will happen, it will come to pass. And how quickly that happens depends on you and me. Depends on you and me. Yes, it does. Your life makes a huge difference. My life makes a little bit of a difference. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Paul. Bless you. I've so enjoyed myself this morning. It's good to be here. Oh, hallelujah. You guys. Oh, fantastic, Paul. Thank you so much. And Elizabeth. Where's Elizabeth? Thank you, Elizabeth. Fantastic. Really good. The Spirit always comes when you play. Always. Thank you for that anointing that you worked hard for, that you labored for, that you sought, you pursued, you sought earnestly. Thank you. You live in it and we benefit from it. Oh, Jesus. Just before we get going on my talk, I just want to read a chapter of the Bible over you. You know, well, two-thirds of a chapter then. Beloved. It's going to take me a while, isn't it? If I read that slowly. Beloved, I'm stopping there on purpose though. Beloved, I read this in my congregation in Maidenhead, and someone shouted out, "That's me!" Yeah? 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 Yeah. Beloved. Yeah. Beloved. Yeah. Beloved. That's me. I want you to say it. That's me. Beloved. That's me. Beloved. That's me. I want you to say it like you mean it. Beloved. That's me. If you can't get excited about that, I can't go on. Until you really know that, I can't go on. Beloved. You know, I was reading in my quiet time this week a little bit of Zechariah and chapter 2 when it says God promises that he's going to defend us. That the one who comes to plunder us, he's going to plunder. The one who comes to plunder us, he's going to plunder. And you know what he says? Because he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. He who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Oh my word. We could just sit down now, couldn't we, and close our eyes and just think about that. You are the apple of God's eye. That's amazing. Look, it's simple, but you know, it is really powerful. Beloved. That's me. I want you to know that and your heart to sing it. Like that lady did spontaneously, beloved. Oh, that's me! He's talking to me! Beloved. Let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Because of our sins, that means he sent us. He sent Jesus to us to clear up the mess that we've made. Beloved. Who said that? Why, there's one person who's got it. Beloved. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Hallelujah. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. What is it that gives us confidence on the day of judgment? What will give you confidence on the day of judgment? It's love. It's just love. Nothing else. If we love, we have confidence. If we don't love, we have no confidence. No matter how hard we preach, no matter how well we teach, no matter how much we give to the poor, no matter how much we speak in tongues or prophesy, if we do not have love, Paul says, we resound like a clashing gong. That's what gives us confidence on the day of judgment. Love. There is no fear in love. No fear. But perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. There's no fear. Not for you and me. There's no fear. When you know that God is love, there's no fear. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, or even doesn't care about his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have received from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking this morning in the showers about this passage. And I just thought, if there was a program called Desert Island Scriptures. You know, Desert Island Disc, because you have to choose a few records that you could take with you. The only songs you would hear if you lived on a desert island, they're the ones you take. Well, if there was such a program as Desert Island Scriptures, and I was allowed to take just two or three chapters of the Bible with me to a desert island, I would definitely take this chapter. It's become more and more important to me in my life, in God. More and more important. And I want us to know it. So that you shout, that's me. That's me. I want us all to know that love. That surpasses knowledge. That we can shout out, that's me! You see, it's as we grow in this knowledge that we grow strong. It's as we grow in this knowledge that we grow up. See, if you don't live in love, you live in fear. There really only are two alternatives. And fear stops us. It stops us from praying for the sick person in case we look stupid. It stops us from prophesying over someone in case we're wrong. It stops us from reaching out to our neighbour in case they reject us. It stops us inviting someone along to church because, well, maybe it won't be so good this year, this week. Fear. It's just fear. But when we love, and when we know we're loved, no matter what, wow, that's freeing. That, people who know they're loved are dangerous people. You know that, don't you? Absolutely dangerous people. The Bible says that those who know their God will do great exploits. They will be strong and do mighty things. They will be strong and take action, depending on your translation. In Daniel 11, verse 32. It's dangerous. When you know you're loved, oh yes. For too long, the church has censored this message. For too long. Love has been censored. And now, there's a great awakening happening, or reawakening, whatever you might want to call it, in the church. And more churches throughout the world are coming to realize that first and foremost, God is love. And therefore, if my view of God is not loving, it's wrong. It's as simple as that. You've got to repent. If you don't have a view of God which is completely love, you need to repent. Just need to rethink. Because that's what the Bible tells us. I want us to know this and to proclaim it from, with all of our hearts. God is love. There's no darkness in him, no shadow. You see, back in the 60s, a young man was asked to write a song that would be a simple song that would, with a message that would reach the whole world. His name was John Lennon. He wrote a song. All you need is love. Wow, 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 wow. All you need is love. All, wow, 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 wow. All you need is love. Love. All you ever need is love. Sorry? Love is all you need. Love is all you need. That is our song, church. That is our anthem. When God thought about reaching the world with a simple message, what did he come up with? All you need is love. That young man, not a believer, tapped into the same thing. It's plain to everyone who looks at the world that that is all you need. Regardless of what you believe. If you live in love, you live in God. This is the song that we should be singing as church. As the bride of Christ, as the woman that's been wooed by the Son of God, this is the song that we sing. A love song. It's the most beautiful song that you could ever sing. It's the most attractive song. And when people hear it, they say, ah, where's that coming from? They're drawn to it. They're drawn to it. It's attractive. For too long, the church has sung different songs. We sang not so attractive songs. We sang things like, all you need to do is repent. Wah, 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 wah. All you need to do is repent. Wah, 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 wah. All you need to do is repent. Repent. Oh, you better repent or you're gonna die. That's not so catchy, is it? It's an ugly song. It's not a song a lover sings. Seriously, it's not a song a lover sings. It's not the song the church should sing. There's truth in it, but we sung it, not as a love song. Now, this is really outrageous. Scandalous. That's the title of my talk. Love is offensive. I'm doing a whole series on love in Maidenhead this year. Love is offensive. Can be. It's particularly offensive to religious spirits. People who are religious, it's offensive to them. They don't get it. They get angry, actually, sometimes. So I often get accused of only preaching half a gospel. Have you heard that? Yeah? Yeah, people say, oh, he only preaches half a gospel. Where's the judgment and the brimstone and the fire? But while we're on that subject, that creed is wrong. It says that Jesus descended into hell. Well, hell's not a word you'll find in the Bible. It's not a word you'll find in any Bible. It's either Gehenna or Hades. And he didn't descend into Gehenna. Gehenna is the place of destruction. He didn't descend there, the place of flames. He descended into Hades, the place of the dead, where the dead are waiting. It's different. So creed is wrong. I'm sorry. I only just realized that this morning, but it's true. The other thing about that creed, it doesn't mention the word love. So whilst it's got lots of great things in it, it's a bit incomplete. For me, personally, I'm going to get stoned now. I can feel it coming on. But, you know, check it out. If I'm wrong, I'll repent, okay? I don't mind. If you show me I'm wrong, I'll just say sorry, like, guys, I got it wrong. But I believe that to be true. But religious people hate it when you just preach about love. They really don't like it. They want you to preach judgment. They got upset with Jesus too for the same thing. So that's okay. Jesus, you're always hanging out with sinners. You're hanging out with the rough crowd. You eat with prostitutes. Let them wash you and kiss you. Tax collectors who rob us for the Romans. Eat with these disgusting types. What's the matter with you? You dirty people you're spending all this time with. You're breaking all our traditions. You're letting adulterers go free without any kind of punishment. Come on, what's the matter with you? You forgive people with just a word. Yes, God is forgiveness, but actually he's a God of punishment and justice too. We've got to stone the adulterer. Religious people do the same today. You see, Jesus took a message that was for the respectable, the middle class synagogue goers, and made it a message for everyone. What's your message? Do you have a message which is just for respectable people? Middle class church going types? Whose lives are pretty neat and tidy? Or do you have a message which is for everyone? That welcomes, embraces, not just tells them what they must do, but embraces every single one that you meet? Because that's what I see Jesus doing. We don't want to just validate the middle class with our message. We want to preach the most attractive message, which is going to bring everybody, the whole of Slough, to you guys. If you sing them the song of love, it's attractive. It really is. It's attractive. The world gets it. If you love people, they are drawn to you. Do you know that? That's how lovers get together. They start loving on each other and they're attracted to one another. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. If you're not attracting people to you, you have to ask yourself, am I loving? Yeah? I'm serious. Am I loving? Because love is attractive. Love is attractive. You know, I was at my company once. I was working in IT, and a salesman came in, started his first day on the job. And he was offered a much better job somewhere else, but he took this one. He didn't know why. He couldn't explain it. He thought he was going a bit mad, maybe. And he came up to me and he said, oh, and I went down to introduce myself to him. And he said, oh, I've heard a lot about you. I said, oh, okay, really? And he started to ask me questions about my faith. I started to talk to him. Just the headline stuff about what my faith was. and how actually it's all about love. He told me a bit about his journey, involved in the Roman Catholic Church, involved in Jehovah's Witnesses, and I told him then about mine, and how I summed it all up with love. God is love. And as I started to talk to him about the God who loves, he started to cry. He started to cry, like he'd never heard it before. And he said, now I know why I took this job. Now I know. You see, love is attractive. It started to melt his heart. I was in a training program for prospective foster carers. You know, my wife and I are foster carers. And so they brought me in so that I could talk a bit about our experiences. And they got to know that I was a church leader. And this big kind of burly Buster blood vessel type guy said, where's your dog collar? But in that, again, I got to just say to them, actually, for me, I hate religion. They were a bit shocked by that. How can a church leader say they hate religion? Well, I hate religion. And I said, it's all about love. Love's not religious. It's all about relationships. It's all about love. It's simple. It's got love God, love people. It's really easy. And as I started to talk about that, just briefly, a number of people started to nod around the room. A couple of Muslims sitting on my left started to say, yes, you're right. I'm thinking, woo! See, even the Muslims get it. Now everybody gets it. Love is attractive. I have trouble sometimes with my friends in Nepal about that. One of my friends insists on this. But I went out there for the year with my family, and I told him about this. He said, well, Colin, you know, we've got to preach fear and judgment in Nepal, otherwise people won't become Christians. We've got to drive them into the church in fear. I'm thinking, oh my word. No! You don't have to. He said, people don't understand love. Hello? We need to pray for them if they don't understand love. But the people there responded to love in the same way. I saw people that were cowering in fear, you know, in churches, not able to do anything, just doing what they're told and not doing it very well, transformed that year because they understood that they were the apple of his eye. They understood that Father loved them and they were important to him. And all of a sudden that gave them great freedom, great courage. They started to do stuff they never thought they would ever do. They started to preach, they started to teach, they started to lead worship. They started to lead the congregations. Hallelujah. Love is powerful. You know, the fact that if we preach only love, we preach only half the gospel, is a commonly held myth. It's commonly held belief. It does not mean it's true just because a lot of people believe it. Yeah? Amen? Have you heard Andy Reid preach recently? As he talked about the grace and truth thing. You need to get him to come and preach on that. Because so often when you hear that word, Jesus came full of grace and truth, John 1, you think, oh, they're two balancing things. There's the grace of God and the love of God and the cuddliness of God. And then there's the harsh kind of truth declaring punishing side of God that we better beware of and fear. That's rubbish, just let me say. That is absolute rubbish. They're not two parts of a balancing thing. They're two parts of the same. Because the truth, what's the truth about God? God is love. That's the truth. That his glory is his compassion, his willingness to forgive, his patience, his gentleness. The God who can say, I am humble and gentle in heart. Come to me, all you are weary, and I will give you rest. That is the God that we worship. That's the truth. You know, when he told us that, I thought, stone me, you know, I've bought that lie that those two things are balancing things and people have used it against me in the past. And I think, stone me, how could I be so stupid? The truth is not the opposite of grace. It just explains what that grace is. Outrageous. Outrageous. Carol. Oh yes, people are going to be outraged. I look forward to hearing those angry people clamoring. What does Jesus say are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love people. Simple. Matthew 22. how does Jesus say that they will know we are his disciples? Huh? By our love for one another. John 13:35. Got a little quiz for you, see? You might get it in a minute. Why did the Father send Jesus into the world? Because he so loved the world. Yes, exactly. John 3:16. Does Jesus say he went to the cross? Because he loved us well, nearly. John 14:31. Someone look it up for me. What is it? What does it say? What did Jesus say he went to the cross? Because we hear all kinds of people telling us things why Jesus went to the cross, but what did Jesus actually say was the reason? Well, that's one reason, yeah. Yes. Yes. The world might know that I love the Father. That's why I went to the cross. He didn't have to. He demonstrated his love. Who is born of God? We just read it. Who is born of God? Everyone who loves. Amen. Everyone who loves is born of God. Now that's a bit scary, isn't it? There are some people out in the world who love, aren't there? Yeah? That's a bit scary. Everyone who loves is born of God. Hello? That should shock you, maybe. Some religious people, anyway. But everyone who loves is born of God. We can encourage people that we see loving. Who knows God? Who knows God? Me. We read it again. The next verse. Everyone who loves knows God. Oh my word, this is getting rather scary now, isn't it? Everyone who loves knows God. What is the most excellent way? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. Now I will show you the most excellent way. Love. I am nothing unless I have what? Love. What is greater than faith? Love. What is greater than hope? Love. How do we live or abide in God? Living in love. God is love. This is the best bit. This is the pièce de résistance. Who wants to be like Jesus? No, I wasn't accusing, I was just asking. You know, who wants to be like Jesus? Yes. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. How do we attain the fullness of our God? Yeah. Paul says, I pray for you together with all the saints. That you may have power, you know, the power to understand, to comprehend how wide and how high, how long and how deep is the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of your God. See, when we begin to grasp the love of God, we start to become more like Him. That's great. The more we understand that God is love, the more like Him we will be. You know, that's one of my favorite verses. Oh, Jesus. Love is the most potent force in the universe. It has the power to transform us, to make us like Jesus. That is incredible. It's not fear that does that. You see, love drives out all fear. We just read that. Love is safe. Love makes us feel safe. Some say you're forgetting about the fear, but the fear of the Lord, the power, that's a powerful motivation, they say. Fear the Lord. I say no. Respect the Lord, revere the Lord, yes. Let's not fear the Lord. If I fear you, what do? If I hear you coming, I hide. Let's not fear the Lord. Let's not hide from him. I had a friend one of my first workplaces. He had a theory that the whole world was motivated by fear and greed. How sad is that? He was a Sikh. He thought the world was motivated by fear and greed. There's some truth in what he says, because some people are motivated by fear and greed. But they're ugly motives. They don't have the power to transform you from one degree of glory to the next. But love does. Love does. You see, a father who makes his children live in fear has lost them. He's lost them. He'll never be close. Never be close. And God wants the most intimate and close relationship we can have with you. Dearly beloved children, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Perfect love drives out all fear. It's a safe place. I want this church to be a safe place. I want it to be safe. Completely safe. Then there is no fear. You know, as I've grown up, I've become less fearful. My brother said to me, we were skipping on the rocks in Cornwall last year, and we were getting a bit dangerously close to where the tide was cutting, the waves were breaking over the rocks, and we nearly got stranded, and my brother said, you've become more adventurous as you've got older, Colin. I've become less adventurous, you've got more adventurous. Reckless. Well, maybe. But it's true that love drives out fear, and I want us all to be growing in that, to become more fearless. To become more adventurous. To risk more. To have the same spirit as Jonathan and his armor bearer had when they went up to the Philistine garrison. The only two of them, and they approached this garrison and they said, well, God's able to save us by many or by few. Let's go up and see what God will do. I want this church to be full of people like that. We don't look at the flesh, don't look at the numbers, don't look at the circumstance of the earth, but actually look at heaven and think, wow, God loves me so much. Actually, he's with me. I can do almost anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Bold, adventurous types that know the love of the Father, that know their God, and are therefore strong and do great things. You see, love also places a high value on us. When you know you're loved, you know the person really values you. And when others start to value us highly, that does something to us, doesn't it? What does it do? Sorry? It lifts us up. It draws us out. You know, sometimes we're a bit like sea anemones. And we're out there just reaching out with our little tentacles, and then a loud noise or something, and we close up. But love draws us out. It draws us out, because it's safe. There's no fear in love. We can reach out as far as we can. We can try anything. And when we're loved, we're valued. It kind of brings the best out of us. You see people that are in love. They are beautiful. Are they not? We should be beautiful people. Okay, don't look at me now. But we should be beautiful people. As the love that we receive draws the very best out of us. The love we give to one another. The Bible says, honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another. Speak highly of one another. Let each other know that you're loved by one another. Draws the best out of us. Husbands, love your wives. Get the most out of your wife and your family. Love does that. Love does that. Nothing else does that. But love does that. It's the most powerful transforming thing in the world. If you want to help someone grow, love them. Love them. Love one another. it kind of motivates us to live up to the person's expectations of us. And lastly, it sets us free. It sets us free, completely free. Free to try whatever we want. Without fear of failure. That's what holds most of us back a lot of the time. We're scared. What? We don't know. We're not sure what will happen. But if you live in love, that fear goes away. And you become bold, adventurous. You do things that you'd never dream you would do. Because you're safe. Because you're valued. You have no fear. You're free. Now, if you're here and you don't know that transforming power in your life, you know, today could be the day you begin to let love loose in your heart. If you've been listening to me, and actually you've been a bit riled by some of the things I've said, I humbly say you need to repent. Rethink. Rethink. Because this is only offensive to religion. It's not offensive to anybody else. It's only offensive to Pharisees. It's only offensive to lawgivers and lawmakers. It's not offensive to ordinary men and women. It's beautiful and attractive to most people. And I want us to preach the most attractive gospel in the world to attract as many as we can to come and live in the love of our God. Because that love will take them from where they're at and transform them into who they're meant to be. Release them into their destinies. It's not us telling them. It's not the fear that will do that. But it's our love for them that will do that. It's God's love for them that will do that. Jesus. So if I've spoken today and one of those things applies to you, one of those three things really. One, if you want to let love loose in your heart, you know you need to let love have more reign in your heart. You need to stand. Two, if you know that you need to rethink your view of God, your view of what we do in church. If you've been challenged, if you felt that kind of angst in you, you're only preaching half the gospel and you're dying to say something, to just say, what about this? What about that? And actually, you need to stand too. I'd like to pray with you. And thirdly, if you're someone who wants to be freer, you know you want to adventure with Jesus, but something's been holding you back from giving yourself 100% to adventuring, then you need to stand too. So if any of those three things apply to you, then please do stand now. And Paul, if you could come and play your guitar, mate. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Lord, I thank you that the Bible doesn't tell us God is judge. God is judgment. I'm grateful for that. That your word doesn't say even that God is repentance or God is anything else, but God is love. It's the most attractive thing in the universe, the most powerful thing in the universe. No wonder you say that love never fails. Love never fails. And Father, I just want to release that spirit of love now over this congregation. Father, there are those here that are letting love loose in their life again today. Maybe for the first time, maybe again, maybe a recommitment to letting love be the dominant force in their lives. Committing to love their partners, to love their families, to love their neighbours, to love their friends, to love their colleagues, to love the other people in the church, to love you, Lord God. There are people who are going to let love loose in their lives afresh today. Pour out your spirit upon them again, I pray. Right now, come, Holy Spirit. Minister to their hearts. Pour out your love. that endless love, that limitless love, that love that has no height, no depth, no width, no breadth, no length, that love that is limitless. Let them grow in their understanding of it, the love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the measure of the fullness of their God. For those, Father, who felt something jar in them, and they recognized something in themselves about only preaching half a gospel, a religious thing going on, a struggle going on. They want to let go of that other side, but they're scared to, in case they're stepping into something wrong. Father, I want to pray for them that love would hit them afresh right now. A fresh revelation, that their eyes might be open, they would see you in all your glory and know that you are in fact love. Not just in words, not just an idea, but in reality. You touch you, you touch love. And there's no fear in love. No fear in love. I just release people from fear in this room. Every person who stood, I want to release them from any fears in their hearts. I cut off that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I cut off the spirit, the fear of man. I cut off the fear of failure. I cut it off in the name of Jesus. Cut it off. The fear of being wrong, I cut it off. The fear of being laughed at, I cut it off. The fear of being different, I cut it off. In the name of Jesus, I loose in a tremendous spirit of adventure over this congregation, Father. A tremendous spirit of adventuring, 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 Lord. I loose over this congregation a spirit of adventuring, of trying, of risking, of knowing that actually it's okay. Because God is with me. Emmanuel. God is with me. Whoa. What can man do to me? God is for me. He loves me. Oh, Jesus. Right now, Father, I pray by your Spirit you birth new adventures in the hearts of these people. New dreams. And that you resurrect old dreams and old adventures that they've been too scared to go out on. They've had a map, they've had an idea, but they put it away. Pray that today, Father, you get it out. You get it out. You get it out. And you release fresh vision, fresh hope, fresh courage, because they know they're loved. Outrageously. Outrageously. Outrageously loved. Oh, Lord Jesus, pour out your love upon these people, that it might be outrageous to religious people, but that it might be attractive to those others living around them, working around them in this area. That they might be that bright shining light set on a hill, proclaiming with a loud voice, God is love. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Have your way amongst us, Lord. Have your way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.